Nerdish,
nerdy,
nerd news.
Hi, and welcome to Nerdish, Nerdy, Nerd News. Come along and ride with us as we explore, discuss, and nerd-splain some of the most interesting topics of today.
Hey, I'm Tim. Hung around with nerds a lot growing up, hoping that it would rub off. I think it kind of did, because I'm kind of nerdish. As always, my co-hosts.
Hey, thanks, Tim. I'm Christian. I've been playing and writing, creating games and Dungeons & Dragons since high school. My idea of a relaxing weekend is playing vids with my buds online. I also used to do complex math troubles with my dad for fun. I am very nerdy. And with us to help us understand the world a little better.
Hi, I'm Jess. I've been programming and using computers since the early 80s. I'm a voracious reader, consistently going through about 500,000 or more words a month. I've got some biochemistry in my background, and I've been using technology for as long as I can remember. I am the nerd. I got something for you, Tim.
What is that?
What, nothing for me? Oh, wait. You've given me lots. You've given me lots of those.
You know what this looks like?
What?
A guitar stand.
It is. It's a guitar hanger.
Hanger.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, I actually hang every guitar I own.
And it's got a little shelf on it for you to put your picks on, too.
Look at you.
So if you have a pick that goes with a guitar, it'll go there.
So guess where he got that from for you, though? It wasn't Amazon. It wasn't at the John's Music downtown. Where did you get it, Jess?
I made it. It's made out of PLA. It's a type of plastic, and I made it on a 3D printer.
No.
Yeah, in his house.
Really?
Yeah.
That is completely functional.
Yeah, yeah. And I made it extra strong, so you can't quite hang off of it, but you don't have to worry about some of your heavier guitars falling.
Yeah, and he can enlarge them if the necks of your guitars are bigger. Yeah.
That is amazing.
Yeah, he can make them smaller for your little mandolins or any of the small things.
You do have a mandolin.
Yeah. I know you do.
I can make them different colors.
Wow.
I can make it bright pink. This one's white.
Just happens to be my favorite color. Hot pink.
Hot pink.
But that's the wonders of 3D printing. Now we can make, design, and build whatever you can imagine.
I've never got to play with one.
Yeah, it's playing.
Oh, no kidding.
I got into it so I could learn about it, but I definitely have learned a lot.
Like that's really solid. Like that's
yeah. You probably have to jump on it to break it. It will melt.
I'm not going to try that.
It will melt.
Do that live in
It will melt at about 200 degrees Celsius. So
we're okay.
Don't leave it in your car.
Yeah, right.
A big puddle of goo.
That's amazing. Wow.
But that's just one type of 3D material. There's many that are higher temperatures or lower temperatures that you can print all kinds of things with.
There's all kinds of 3D printers aren't just for making little toys. I got another one here I made. Tim, here, have a look at that. It's a T-Rex tooth. It's an actual size T-Rex tooth.
Really?
Could you imagine something coming at you with a mouthful of those?
No.
And
I can.
We'll put a picture up on our socials and stuff so you guys can see what this looks like. But it is
that's crazy.
If you wrap your fist, like just grab it, and it's bigger than your hand, like longer than your hand. It's serrated. It comes to a point. And if you imagine something that had like 50 of these things in its mouth coming at you.
Okay, but you know what? He's got no arms, so.
Just the fact that you can see that, though, and handle that and look at it and understand how big it is.
And not have to have gone to a museum to buy it for $30.
Well, and you can't handle it at a museum, the real one, right? No. So this is a facsimile that is.
And they're solid. Like, they're.
You probably could stab someone with it if you really tried.
This really could be.
Tim's planning our murder for when the robot apocalypse comes.
This would mess a robot up for sure, especially when I'm in my Batman suit.
we found the murder weapon. It's a T-Rex tooth.
Yeah, the robots will be so confused.
Yeah, they won't know what to think.
The forensic autopsies of the dead robots.
Yeah,
killed by T-Rex.
There's different kinds of 3D printing. Like the ones that you can do in your home are they're called additive.
Okay.
There's different kinds. Let's go through the different kinds.
Sure.
So, So there's additive or subtractive. And if you've ever worked in a shop and used a lathe,
yeah,
that's subtractive. You're taking something that's shaped a certain way and you're chopping pieces off of it to make the shape you want. Same thing with a CNC machine. You're putting a block of metal into it and you're subtracting pieces from it to make what you want.
Have you seen the CNC machines?
No.
So those are basically like, it kind of looks like a big giant laser printer. Kind of.
Imagine water a big jets. Drill. Okay, like a drill press, but it can move up, down, left, right, forward, and back. Okay?
Yeah.
And it's held by like a robot arm. So the only, you know, your robot's there. And you put a block of...
Robots again.
Sorry,
Jim. Just sneak their way everywhere.
You're on the wrong podcast not to be talking about robots.
And you put that into a block, like a thing that holds it. And this drill, it's a cutting bit on the end, will come down and it will, layer by layer, it'll take away the pieces that don't belong. So sort of like when you hear about the sculptor and like, well, how did you make the sculpture? Well, I just chopped away what wasn't the sculpture. Well, that's what this is doing. It's just cutting it away based on a computer program. And it's all designed that way. So that's subtractive. Additive is where you're laying down each layer instead.
And it's exactly like if you were to look at that tooth that you have there.
An exact replica.
And you can actually see on the guitar one, if you look at the sides, you can see the layers, those lines.
Mm-hmm.
That's the layers as the printer lays down the melted resin.
Yeah.
How long does that take?
That guitar stand, I think it took about 5 hours to print.
Just for me.
Just for you, Tim.
No,
he didn't have to sit there.
I didn't have to sit there.
This isn't a manual process of him going layer, layer for 5 hours.
Yeah.
The computer knows where it has to start and where it has to stop.
Right.
And these 3D printers are exactly like, just like a printer. Yeah. Instead of a two-dimensional object.
Instead of spraying ink onto a paper, it's putting plastic down onto a surface.
That's cool.
Yeah. And it's if you think about it, it's just like using what are they called? A silicone gun that you put down.
Caulking gun.
Yeah. and but it's tiny. Like the orifice on that is 0.4 millimeters and the layer thickness is 0.1 millimeters. So that guitar stand is probably, 10 centimeters high? So
that's awesome.
Layered 1 millimeter at a time.
Point one, sorry. Yeah.
So what's more of a, I don't want to say user friendly, but for the type that you would have in your home.
Yeah. There's different types you can have in your home. They've come down in price. They used to be very, very expensive.
Yeah. So like Big Bang Theory had a goofy episode where Raj and Wolowitz printed out 3D renderings of themselves as models. And it was just hilarious.
They used the university 3D printer, and it was like $5,000 per model cost.
Yeah, and they printed out the whistle. He's like, oh, let's print out something. And like this was, just as 3D printers were coming out.
Yeah.
And they printed out the whistle, and they're like, oh my gosh, look. Ooh, and they blew the whistle. He's like, oh yeah. And instead of it being a $5 whistle you could buy from the corner store, it was like a $5,000 whistle. But they made it themselves, right? Like that was the excitement.
So they've come down since then. It's become a hobby. Like you could do it as a hobby.
Yeah. $300-$400 can get you into a very base.
Yeah. Well, the one I got, I think I paid $300 just for the basic. I've upgraded it quite a bit now. But the nice thing about it is you buy it and then you can print your own upgrades for it.
And
you print the parts right on the printer for itself.
Wow.
Yeah. So you can, it's basically think of it like buying the chassis for a car. And then you get to decide what the body is. You get to decide where the windows are, what the mirrors look like. And you go online and there's like 50 people who have 50 different things you can print out for your chassis of your car.
And that's, how sophisticated can you get with these things?
I printed out, I've printed out a few things. So one was a marble, not a ladder, it's like a marble raceway. And in the center is a screw that you turn with your finger and the marbles come up that like an auger. Mm-hmm. And then they whip down the outside and go into the middle and you keep going. It just keeps going.
And there's like a little fountain. Four different paths. That are all intertwining through a sculpture that's probably a foot tall. And like 8 inches wide, and this was all printed
in a single print.
As a single print. A single with piece. The auger included.
Wow. Yeah. Another one that I've done is for my father, I made some parts for his camera because he got a brand new camera. I made a lens cap holder for him. I made
a battery holder.
And I also made it's a container for the memory cards. Because they're tiny and they're so easy to lose. Well, you put the memory cards in this thing and then it screws shut. It actually has a screw lid that was printed.
and then he just printed this week, and I'm sitting at his desk at his office for lunch one day. He's got this little cylinder. It's about 6 inches long, 2 inches wide, and it's got a knob on it. So of course I pick it up and turn the knob. Well, it only goes an inch. And then I tug on it, and it moves another inch. And I'm like, what's this?
And it's a labyrinth gift box.
It's a labyrinth puzzle that he's printed. So think of like a screw in a nut, okay? But instead of the screw having a cylindrical thread that is continuous, it has a labyrinth inside of it that you have to figure out by twisting the two ends. And he 3D printed the two pieces.
So it when you take them apart, it's hollow. So you can put like a gift card or some money or... figure it all back closed, then hand it off to somebody and say, if you can open it, you can have it.
Wow.
Another thing that I did was a fidget toy, and it's the Infinite Folder, it's called. It's got hinges that were built into it. I didn't have to put it together. It's printed that way. And it infinitely folds. It'll fold, it'll fold, it'll fold. It just keeps going because it's just the way it's built. It's a fidget machine.
That's fun.
Yeah.
What are some things you could make, though, where you'd really...
Useful?
Well, I'm not saying they're not useful, but where could you really save? Like, what is something that you could make where you'd really save a lot of?
Well, I mean, a lot of this, you think of these things, plumbers, you know, if there's a part.
Like tools.
Tools, parts that don't exist anymore for boilers or something that might not exist.
A good friend of ours, his brother actually is deep into... 3D printing. They have several different kinds of printers, and what he has done is he's gone, and he also likes to rebuild old cars, and he's found some parts where he looks online, and they're not available anymore because these cars are 60 years old, but they're like the what would one be? An example would be like the Mustang on the front of a Ford Mustang, that chrome looking one that you can't find those. They're not made anymore, and unless you can find one that's salvaged, that's in good condition, you're not going to get one. But what he's done is he's taken one that's in terrible condition. He's used that. He's made a 3D rendering of it.
He scanned it with like a laser scanner or something where he's taken a 3D picture of it, essentially.
And then he built that into a 3D printer. It comes out. He now sprays it, chromes it, and sells it online for like, instead of the $1,000 that most people are, you know, for $50. And it looks identical to the ones that they're trying to find.
And is as durable, if not more durable, than the originals.
Yeah.
Because he can make it out of almost any material.
ABS. We'll get into that. There's all kinds of materials you can make it out of. Like these ones that I made for you, that one I made for you, is made out of something called PLA. And it's 100% food safe. You could probably eat that and it wouldn't hurt you.
Tim's looking a little peckish.
But it's also biodegradable. So if you're like to throw it out, it would eventually degrade. It's made out of corn husks or something. That's what its origin comes from. So it's not necessarily environmentally bad, but there are ones like ABS you can print in, which is like what you find most pipes, and it's a plastic. So
I'm just still thinking of like everything that I would want to.
What are some of the things you'd want to be made?
Guitar.
Well, I could print picks, 1,000 picks.
Picks.
Different size picks, different shape picks.
Drumsticks.
Finger picks.
Drumsticks, yeah. I could do drumsticks. Different lengths, different sizes. Yeah.
Probably ones that could screw into each other with different weights. Yeah. Because I know some guys like to have a heavier stick and a lighter stick. And
the clamps that you guys use to put your drums up, I could build those clamps.
You could do the body of a guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Could you
piece
not?
By piece?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what the sound acoustics would be like.
Right,
that
but I'm thinking like an electric guitar. Like, people do that all the time.
Yeah. There's actually, I think I've seen ones where the people have done that. You'd have to put your pickups and strings and everything else, but they build the plastic and the neck and the
yes, and then spray
and in any shape you want.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any like shape with like designs carved into it and stuff like that. Yeah, those are just some of the examples.
Just tools too, like
if you can imagine it, the 3D printer can.
So let's get into this because we're getting into some of the stuff I want to talk about in a little bit here. There's the one where we put down stuff. There's different kinds. There's a FDM, which is what I use. And that's a diffuse deposition modeling. That's what it stands for. Basically, I have this big roll, and it's like a filament of plastic on it, and it gets fed into the top of the printer. It melts it.
It's like a glue gun.
It's like a glue gun, exactly. And it feeds it through, and it squeezes out a little, you know, snake, and it just keeps building it up. That's what those are. And you can have all kinds of different types of material. The next one is called photopolymerization. That is the resin bed ones. They are a much higher quality, like very, very fine details.
Now so we're probably talking increased price points and
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah, we're talking about double.
They're the okay. ones, this is the one that looks, to me, it looks like a creepy movie.
Yes.
Because what it does is it starts, it's upside down. So where these ones that you have are started from the bed
and they
build up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this one starts upside down in a bed of liquid and it slowly pulls itself out of the bed of liquid and the object appears underneath.
It's just like a science fiction movie.
Yeah.
Just thinking yeah. that.
Well, what it does is that polymer underneath, it's a really thin layer of glass.
Yeah.
There's a UV
screen
that lights up certain parts. And the part that it lights up is the part that hardens.
Yeah.
And then it moves
up. Just like when you go to the dentist and you get a filling and then they put those special glasses on and they stick that light in your mouth.
Right.
Identical.
Speaking of which, the dental industry must be...
healthcare. We're going to get into that. There is like 1,001 uses for 3D printing.
Yeah. So that's the other additive one.
Then there's also powder bed fusion. And this is the one, when you're talking about tools, this is the one. This is where they have a bed of powder, and that's your media, and it can be all kinds of stuff. It can be resin, epoxy, plaster, all kinds of things. And they use a special beam of light, a laser, an electron beam, like the inside of a TV tube, right?
Right.
And it melts together the fine powder. And then when it's done, it does it layer by layer. So it'll melt a layer and then it puts more powder down and it melts a layer and it keeps building it up. But the thing about that one is you don't have to have supports and it's a much stronger build. When you're done, you take it out of the powder, you shake it, dust it off. All the powder that's left behind gets reused. So there's no waste. And now you have a part that's been printed and you can make tools out of that and stuff because it's much harder. It's been welded together.
So if I was to make a hammer, for example, using that, mm-hmm. is that like one of those $5,000 hammers on Big Bang? Or?
Yeah.
Because, yes, but if you were going to try and make a Mjolnir 3D, like 3D printed hammer of Thor.
Of course that looks, you would.
Of course I would.
You have to, right?
It would look identical to the one in the movie. You could make it out of a material that's so heavy that no one could pick it up. And there's actually a couple guys who have done similar things. They've 3D printed that. They've 3D printed swords from the movies and made them act exactly like the ones in the movies by using the right materials and 3D printed them.
Yeah. So those are the main ones that we have for additive. And then there's the subtractive, which has been in use for a long time.
The original guy who carved an arrow out of a tree branch
was whittler,
subtractive.
The guy that made it, that whittled a little toy from a piece of wood, that's subtractive, yeah. So it's been around forever. But additive, it's been there, but not like this. So some of the uses you're talking about. Let's give me a couple things that you're talking about there. You said tools.
Yeah,
yep.
Tools for sure. Okay.
So when we launch to go to the moon, mm-hmm. or go to Mars, and they're going to be gone for a year, what happens if something breaks and they don't have the tool for it?
On the moon?
Yeah.
On Mars? At least moon, we might be able to get them there
You're up the creek without the paddle, I think.
Yeah, exactly. So that means you have to take every tool you could possibly need with you, even if you're never going to need it.
And maybe.
Because you might.
And maybe backups. Because what happens if you break that 16th inch wrench that you need to...
So instead of doing that, we're going to send... instead of sending a ton, literally, of tool weight, we're going to send a 3D printer with that special powder stuff and the powder itself, and it might only be 1,000 pounds. Well, half a ton, right? And that's enough for you to make every tool five times over.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Plus, it could also be used if you have to make a part. If you can't design a part and make it on the moon or on Mars, the people back on Earth can do it, and they can send you the file, and then you just put that in the machine. And
yeah, let's say the handle on the door, some rock during a storm smashes the handle. You didn't bring a spare door handle.
What are you going to do, stick a screwdriver in there?
We're going to have to change every movie ever made.
Yeah, Tim's going to be sitting there with the screwdriver on Mars.
That's
yeah.
not even a problem, though. Yeah. Movie's wrecked.
Yeah, and so that's just one example. That's for tools. And there are lots of other ones. The construction industry, they're starting to get into that for like remote sites and things where they'll just take a 3D printer of special kind and with special stuff. And then if they need a wrench, they can just print it, you know, like 8 hours later, it's here instead of waiting for 3 days for it to be airlifted.
Right.
I mean, at any kind of exploration, it's yeah. fundamental that you would have something like that. But in the construction industry, I mean, they're starting to 3D print houses. So picture this additive process we talked about where it's 1.01 millimeters thick. Yeah. Well, what they're doing now is they've got that same process, but they've supersized it to now use concrete. And instead of 0.01 millimeters, it's now 4 inches of concrete that it prints down and prints your wall, and it makes the wall and goes around the house, and then it raises up 4 inches and does the next layer. And they are printing, 3D printing houses for Habitat and for Humanity, yeah. I think, down in the States.
Yeah, they can put a house up in 3 days, a full house from start to finish in 3 days with no one being there
they drop the machine off and just continue to put concrete into the machine, and it yeah. prints what it needs
I
to print.
I think they had one, a minimal shelter for a disaster. They can do it in 11 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. So like after hurricanes and natural disasters, you send in a bunch of trucks of these 3D printers and just keep pumping the concrete into yeah. them, and you've got emergency shelters for people.
Yeah, it's fantastic what they can do. So let's take a little break, and we'll come back and really blow Tim's mind with some of these things, because we haven't even gotten to the good stuff yet.
Nerdish, nerdy, nerd news.
The cost of this stuff, though, is still probably got to be pretty outrageous.
Not so much, no. Like the material that I used to make that guitar hanger for you there, the roll itself was 1 kilogram, and it cost me $28. And even when I printed that with a heavy density to it, it might have cost me 60 cents of material.
Material and power.
And power.
Yeah, yeah. Like all of the, you know, this whatever 5 hours it was to print.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you could have got a lot more elaborate on that.
Yes, actually, Tim.
Yeah, sorry, Tim. $60.
$60.
Yeah, and I had to wave a rubber chicken over it and dance around.
Well, actually, that's not far, because Jess did have a few issues.
Oh yeah, I had a major issue. Not with that, but yeah.
So these houses then would be fairly, that we were talking about before the break, would have been fairly cost effective then?
Yeah.
Well, you think you're not spending all that money on the labor minimum to right. build the frame,
yeah,
the walls.
You know, you still have to put the windows in after, because they're not 3D
windows,
printed.
Doors, and finishing.
But all those stuff, spaces, yeah. just like the spaces in the 3D print you have there, the spaces show up in the print.
Yeah. As it's going along, it's not making a solid wall. It's making two pieces of the wall, right. and it's occasionally joining together. So, you know, your electrician comes along halfway through the build and just lays down wires into the concrete.
Yeah.
Right there, all your wires are run. Done.
Yeah, we could really save and 3D print the electrician.
Well, all his tools, anyways. Yeah, if he forgets tools, them,
at least.
So let's keep going. So that's construction. So the food industry, they've been using it for quite a while, actually. Anytime you go into a place where they manufacture, like they make food, it's almost all robots. It's not people putting the food together.
Well, let's really trip Tim out. Talk about the Japanese.
Am I eating 3D printed bananas?
The Japanese food robots. There are places where you can walk up to a vending machine.
Robots.
Yes.
You can walk up to a vending machine and order your food specifically tailored to you, and the machine will 3D print it and put things together. And
okay, wait a minute. Like, you're telling me they 3D print food?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Some of the things that they've been using.
It's not Soylent Green. It's not for
pizza making machines are an example. It'll lay down the dough it kneads it out, but then it 3D prints all the materials on top. It goes down and puts down the sauce. It throws down all the meat and everything. It'll put it down, and it's just the same.
Yeah.
Or some of the chocolates, like you've seen them when they make chocolates, they go down and they put the chocolates down, and then they'll come back and they'll put a design on top of the chocolate.
It's essentially a 3D machine. It's all computer generated using liquid chocolate.
Wow.
The other thing that they do a lot of is it's called rapid prototyping. So like when you want to create a prototype of things, what you used to have to do is you'd get a large ball of clay, you'd carve the clay out how you wanted it, and then you'd have to harden that, make a mold of that, then reverse it, get rid of all of the mold, and then pour what you wanted on top of that to create the outside shell that you wanted. Like, it's super complex.
Yeah, so like the car manufacturers, when they wanted to make a new model of car, they had to hand make a prototype, one car, and that would take months and months of time. But now what they do is they design it all inside of their design systems, and then they print it out, and they can print out a full-size one. And there are cars that you could buy that are fully 3D printed, with the exception of a few of the motor parts and stuff inside. And there's like they'll 3D print the body and stuff, and then they put it into the tests and everything. But wow. It only takes them weeks instead of absolutely months to do it. And that's just one example. But other like prototyping, they can do in the aerospace industry. They'll create like wing types and stuff, and they'll make smaller ones and put them. They'll scale it down. They'll 3D print it, and then they'll put it into
that new supersonic jet that's supposed to be super quiet. So instead of breaking the sound barrier and shattering everything, there's a new supersonic jet that they did exactly that. They rapid prototyped it on a small scale, put it in a wind tunnel, they did all the testing. Oh, we got to tweak. There's a big sound wave coming off the left wing because it's curved a certain way. Well, let's curve that back up. So they 3D printed a new one. Instead of, you know, some guy sitting there for hours banging on a piece of aluminum to get it just the right shape, they can change
it. This is just as impactful as like our discussion on the drones. Like, this is revolutionizing industries.
Yeah. Well, and we're just scraping the surface. You know,
like, we got healthcare.
It's a huge one. Huge. Well,
just touched on the dental industry.
They actually use 3D printing to do rapid prototyping and designing for dental bridges, full
bones.
Well, not just bones, but like all of, like when you have all of your teeth removed,
dentures,
and everything, and they can print that. Then they can test it, and then
when they can actually, like, if you've been to the dentist enough, they've got pictures of your previous teeth.
And they can take imprints.
They can take imprints of your teeth. So even if you've got a crooked snaggle tooth, and that gets knocked out, they can rip all your teeth out, put dentures in,
and you'd have that snaggle tooth.
And they can make that snaggle tooth, so your smile looks as beautiful as ever, Tim.
The snaggle tooth.
I mean, you like me, you've got a chip, I've got big gaps. They can make your teeth look exactly like they did rapidly, not where they used to have to do. Again, it comes back to the artists of it.
Right.
Used to have to hand, you know.
Make forms,
and they'd look at a picture, and then they'd scratch that on your tooth and make it look the way you wanted it. Now they can just take those pictures and 3D images.
Get dentures that look like this.
You can get the T-Rex dentures. It's him with a 6-inch snaggle tooth.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
The big use for them is they can take the CAT and MRI data, a CAT scan and MRI data, and they can use that to create a 3D image. So let's say you have a really, you know, dangerous surgery that's going on, and then they're like, well, we won't know until we get in there. That's what they used to say, because all they had was like some imagery, and it wasn't great. It's good, but it's like, it's not the same as seeing it or being able to get in. Well, now what they do is they produce a very detailed model before any surgery takes place, and they can print it out of a medium that could be like the same flexibility. So let's say it's a heart. Let's say they're doing a bypass, but there's something strange going on. They can do that entire scan. They can do all that without going into you, reproduce that heart with the same flexibility and everything, and practice surgery on it before they even touch you.
That's awesome. But do you realize, too, how cool Halloween has just become?
Yeah.
We could literally make an Iron Man suit.
Yeah.
And people Snowtrooper.
I have a
Stormtrooper.
I have a friend in Regina who has done that. He 3D printed a full Iron Man suit and put LEDs in it.
Yep.
We have a friend who we'll be doing a cosplay episode with coming up. He 3D printed. What was the armor from?
Oh, it was a League of Legends guy.
It was a League
of... Big hammer.
The hammer that he 3D printed, Tim, was about 2 feet across,
yeah,
and about a foot and a half in diameter. This thing was massive.
It was huge.
And he had armor on his shoulders that would rival anything you've seen in a movie. Like spikes that were 6 inches to a foot tall.
Yeah.
LEDs throughout the whole thing. And the entire costume was 3D printed.
So we're just talking about a profound...
We have blown
the effect that it had on the health.
Now we're back out in about
it.
This. Yeah,
we're back in Iron Man suits and Thor.
Wow. Yeah. Other things that they do in healthcare is like 3D, like you were saying, 3D bones. Printed bones.
They can
facial and skull reconstruction can be done.
Yeah. So they can scan if they've got the data on you from before.
3D printed face.
They can 3D print your face from what previous scans were.
So you have a smashed up cheek and you know it's they're not going to be able to fix it because
scan
it's,
the other
it's
side.
Smashed so bad. They can scan the other side, mirror it, make some slight changes, and then when they go in there they can put that 3D printed chunk in there, and then the bone that's existing will grow through it as it heals and it becomes
so part it's like
of
a you. Lattice.
Yeah.
Holy.
Yep. Yeah. It's amazing.
And they're currently researching on using 3D printers to print organs like hearts and livers and kidneys and stuff. And skin grafts.
Yeah, using your own and some of it will be using your own DNA, some of it will be using so it's like unrejectable because it's from you.
Yeah. So and like a skin graft, they'll take skin, they'll grow your skin in a vat and then they'll print it out so it can cover your burn.
I'm watching too.
You're seeing my face.
And it's labeled Soylent Green.
Tim.
So yeah, that's
cloning.
You're
going to be 3D printing human beings.
That's just some of the examples that they can do with it. Yeah.
I had no idea.
We talked about aerospace education. Like you saw you have that T-Rex tooth.
I sure do.
You know, imagine being in school and
remember, I'm going to take this to my dentist. Remember for the.
Imagine when you're in school and they were talking about dinosaurs and you know these were big animals. They're the great lizards, but you know, as a kid, you're like, oh,
and you're just looking at a cartoon in a book,
and they hand that out to you and say, "This is one tooth from a T-Rex." Yeah.
He's actually printed out a bunch of like Triceratops heads, like full skulls for my kid that were like as big as a football, you know, things like that that my kid can get his hands on without having to go and buy them, and like it's 60 cents.
I know what I would have been doing as a kid. I would have been saying, "I found a T-Rex tooth."
And selling it to all your friends.
I'd have been making a bundle on this.
But that's the thing. At 60 cents a piece, heck, you can charge $5. Go bury them in the...
It's a great markup.
I actually took a model of the lower lumbar spine to my chiropractor, and he was absolutely fascinated with it. He said, "This is better than the models I get from my you know, the contacts or the people that he gets his stuff from."
So he could show all his clients. Like, and that's the thing. Like, Jess just did that on a whim for his chiropractor, you know, and it took him a few days to print the different lumbars. And they all clipped together. And
I had to print out a whole dinosaur, buried it just a couple inches in my backyard.
And then told the kids.
Dinosaur in my backyard. Yeah,
told the kids to go dig up some potatoes.
Yeah.
That's $10 that part. That's $10, guys. Yeah. It's my yard.
Yeah. Now they're like any new technology, there's always the darker side. And with 3D printing, there has been some of that as well.
Okay, don't,
of course.
We're not getting into robots again.
No robots this time. No. But like
actually just recently.
Yeah, not too long ago, there was getting onto planes. So there's 3D printed guns.
Yeah.
And some of that stuff is on the internet because these materials are just as strong as metal, but they're not metal.
Can't be detected.
Yeah.
And that's where you see those X-ray 3D scanners that they have at the airports have basically come around because of that type of stuff.
materials that wouldn't be caught on metal detectors.
And it's a functional firearm.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah.
It's a zip. It's a, essentially it's, called a zip.
They might be able to shoot two or three bullets, but that's all you need.
Oh, yeah. Yep. You know, so there's that scary, and you've got IP down IP, here as well.
Yeah, the intellectual property. So someone builds and designs something, and then, you know, you don't want to, if you can make money off of it, you don't want to just give it away. So there's that. And that's actually where we're going towards with 3D printing. There's a lot of people where it's out in the public domain. They've just, like that dinosaur tooth and that, they just give it away. Here, do whatever you want. But there's companies that are producing the models that you have to pay for before you can print them. And that's something else. Like once you get that model, though, I can send it wherever I want. It's my file. But it's not.
Right.
Yeah. And as Jess touched on with all this stuff, it's so much. Yes, we use a little bit more energy, but it's so much more environmentally friendly. All of this 3D printing is now, instead of there being shipping and packaging and all the, think of all the, like when you order your guitar stand from John's Music here in town, how long it took to get here from China, typically, or wherever. Right? Like it came on a boat, it came on a train, it came on a truck.
And then the packaging that it's in, the cardboard and the plastic and the tape and the...
Jess didn't have any of that. He had a single box with a giant spool of resin, and he can now print out hundreds of those, and there's nothing. There's no leftovers. There's no, you know, toxic waste.
No waste at all.
Yeah. And that's with a lot of them. Like he said, with the powder, when he was doing the powder ones,
they just reuse whatever wasn't put together.
And many of them, I know many of them, you can actually melt them back down. And
yeah, and if there is waste, like there's been times when my printer has stopped halfway through, and it's like, okay, what do I do with this? Well, I'm saving them because eventually, what I can do is there's companies out there that will recycle it. It's just plastic, but people, what they'll do is they'll take them, they'll grind them up, and they'll pull them out and make their own filament and. There you go.
Yeah, like that. You just need to reheat that plastic back up and push it through
Away you go.
Yeah. Yep.
Make a whole dinosaur in my backyard and sell the bones. No, I'm joking.
So some of the things that you can make with 3D printing is you can use like what I made that stuff with. It's called PLA. It's a type of plastic that's made from corn or sugar cane or whatever. Another one is ABS, which a lot of pipes are made out of. Yeah. Another one is PVA, polyvinyl alcohol plastic. That one's it's like the cheaper stuff. It's even more
cheaper than the 60 cents.
Yes.
For more things that can be thrown away kind of thing.
It's very, very flimsy. It's fragile. Yeah. Polycarbonate, which is, high temperature. So if you need something that can handle like 300 degrees and still maintain its form without melting or anything like that.
So when Tim's playing guitar and he needs that pick to just keep going.
He's just, you know.
When the guitar lights on fire.
through the fire and the flames.
Down, down, down in a burning ring of fire.
And then there's the powders, which we were talking about. One's it's nylon. It's a nylon powder, which so you've had tools made out of nylon and stuff like that.
Tim wears nylon pants all the time.
And another one, stage.
Another one is alumide, which is just a type of aluminum powder, and it's the strongest one. That's the one we're talking about. The tools would be made out of and stuff. It's very strong. And then there's the resins, which is the liquid stuff, and you can have clear, tough, flexible, water washable,
every color dental, imaginable,
ceramic. So you can make the stuff, and then you can fire it in a kiln, and it becomes a ceramic instead of plastic.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. Like you can, and I mean, we've talked about the construction with concrete. I mean, if it's
furniture, tables.
Yeah.
And then there's chairs. There's metals. There's one that we didn't talk about. It's basically, it's like taking an arc welder, and then they point it down and they just start arc it. The system starts doing it, and they can do that with stainless steel, bronze, gold, nickel, aluminum, titanium.
And
those are all specialized. Those are like the big expensive ones that companies use.
As for the Iron Man suit.
Yes.
Actually, probably a lot of them at things similar to that at Everest Place.
Yeah, you might see that.
You might see
similar. And then there's some of the specialty ones. Carbon fiber, which is used to strengthen some of the plastic models. Graphite, graphene, like graphite golf clubs.
So need a new set of golf clubs.
Well, we'll 3D print you one once we get a graph.
Yeah, that one's a little more difficult. Yeah. One's called nitinol, which is like, they use that for medical implants. That's what those bones and things were made of, is that stuff.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Now, Tim, when we get in a fight...
We don't have to worry about anything.
Jess will 3D print us new faces.
Yeah. Why do you guys look like lizards?
I want it.
And of course, then there's paper. They can 3D print with paper to make like three-dimensional paper products. So it's always growing.
The possibilities are endless.
Yeah.
You guys never fail.
No.
Yeah.
Well, we never
fail to amaze me.
We are here to educate and enlighten.
Well, you've done that for sure. I was blown away by the drones. This is just as impactful.
You can 3D print pretty much all the parts you need for the drone.
Yeah. All you have to do is, that's the fun thing, is with a 3D printer, you can print another 3D printer. The only thing you have to buy are the motors and the control board.
Let's 3D print a life-size Optimus Prime.
One piece at a time, Tim.
We can even do the
40
Matrix.
Feet tall.
Yeah, one piece at a time.
Thanks again for letting us into your ear holes with this nerdish, nerdy nerd news podcast. Check out our website at wildshot.ca.
You can find us on all the socials under Nerdish, Nerdy, Nerd News. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also subscribe and support us at patreon.com/nerdish. To get more bonus content, show notes, and merch.
If you'd like to send us topics for future episodes or comment about our existing ones, please email us info@wildshot.ca. And remember, stay nerdy.
Nerdish, nerdy, nerd news.